O glorious ascended Lord, you who are ever present with us, sanctify our days to your glory, our triumphs and our troubles. May all work your good and gracious will to your glory and honor, now and forevermore. Amen. What a surprise this COVID-19 has been. We are not used to epidemics, plagues, and pandemics rolling down our streets. In ancient Europe, every generation could tell of the latest disease that descended over the people and filled their cemeteries with grandparents, infants, and young adults alike. We today are stunned because we live in an age of modern medicine and sanitation. We are shocked because we assume that we control viruses. Viruses don't control us. Until, of course, they do. Deadly viruses are an unhappy surprise. In our reading, Peter talks about another unhappy surprise. It is a shocking surprise of when people hate us only because we are Christians. Through the pen of Peter, God was helping the Christians in Asia Minor handle the torment, misery, and pain that they were suffering at the hands of their neighbors, families, and friends. They became targets. The moment they stopped burning incense to the pagan gods and were baptized into Christ. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trials you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. Do not be surprised. Why wouldn't they be surprised when the people they had grown up with were running them out of town, burning down their barns, and disowning them from their families just because they worshiped Jesus? The hatred they were suffering was sad, but not surprising. All throughout time, Satan has had his allies positioned both outside the church and inside the church to attack the faith of any believer. Satan's disciples love their sins and hate anyone who calls them to repent. They love to be their own gods and hate anyone who says they need a savior and that Jesus is the only way to heaven. All throughout the Old Testament, God's prophets were ridiculed, hunted down, and put to death. As Jesus' ministry grew stronger, so also the call for his death grew stronger. If the Pharisees and Sadducees were willing to kill the Messiah, the Son of God, what would they do to his followers? Peter wrote this letter about AD 63 or 64. By that time, God's enemies had not only crucified Jesus, they had stoned Stephen and driven most of the Christians out of Jerusalem. Some of those Christians came to Asia Minor. If they persecuted the Christians in Jerusalem, why would the Christians in Asia Minor expect any different treatment? But God told them not to be shocked. Rather, rejoice to participate in the sufferings of Christ. We bear his name, so we will suffer for his name. It sounds contradictory that we should rejoice in suffering, but we need to see the big picture. We are under attack because we are in a war to reach souls with the gospel. The battle to save souls has already been won by Jesus. Satan, the sinful world, and even our own sinful natures, however, continue to fight anyone who wants to share the gospel. But rejoice in suffering for Jesus' name, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. Jesus has won. His glory will be revealed on Judgment Day. All those who tried to stop his gospel from reaching the lost will see him with their own eyes. Our goal is to live for that day when we will see our resurrected Lord, be overjoyed to participate in his glory, and overjoyed for all those standing by our side with whom we have shared the gospel. Are we soldiers who are ashamed of our wounds? Or are we proud that we were able to suffer for the cause of our Savior? Blessed are the wounds we receive for spreading our Savior's story. Peter told these Christians that if you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. Until the end of the 4th century, Roman emperors like Nero, Domitian, Trajan, Marcus Aurelius, and Diocletian charged Christians with crimes like demonic magic, secret orgies, cannibalism, and even the burning of Rome. By the thousands, they tortured them, crucified them, fed them to wild animals, and set them on fire. But over those 250 years, public opinion turned against the persecution as the people saw how faithful Christians were to their Savior and how nobly they offered their lives. How could they march forward and watch their wives and children march forward into death as their bodies were being ripped and burned? The glory of the Holy Spirit and of their victorious God rested on them. It filled them with superhuman strength to endure and peace in the midst of pain. May the Spirit of glory and of God rest on us and bless us when people attack us. May we be faithful Christians who nobly offer our lives to God's glory. Peter warns us, however, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. For it is time for judgment to begin with the family of God, and if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? God is coming to judge. His judgment will begin with the Pharisees and Sadducees of ancient times and of modern times. He will judge those who claim to be in the family of God but preach lies in his name and lead God's people into sin. We will be judged by whether we were proud to bear the name of Jesus in our hearts and lives or ashamed. If the people in Christian churches will be judged by how they stood up for or caved in on the name of Jesus, how much more will a fire from heaven descend upon those who refuse to believe, upon those who fight against the good news of Jesus' salvation? Nina Shea has documented the accounts of modern-day Christian martyrs. She reported that more Christians have died in the 20th century simply for being Christians than in the past 19 centuries combined. The list is enormous. Lenin, Stalin, Mao, Pol Pot, the Islamic State in Sudan, Saudi Arabia, India, and all throughout the Muslim world. If God calls us to suffer, we need to be ready, so that we suffer to the glory of God. Satan wants pain to drive us away from our Savior. With pain, he tempts us to doubt God's love His protection, His plans for our lives. For us Americans, no one will lock us in a cage and set us on fire. Hatred for Jesus comes to us in the form of ridicule, name-calling, in lost jobs and promotions, and people trying to force us to commit sins in order to stay in business or to be popular. More obvious physical persecution is sure to come. The enemy, however, that we often overlook is the enemy that is inside of us, our sinful nature. Notice how God directs our attention to what is happening in our hearts. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you. When we are being beat up for our faith, there is the temptation to get on our high horse. It's not fair. How dare they do that to me? God tells us to humble ourselves, just as Jesus humbled Himself under the blows, the whips, the nails of the enemy. Jesus kept His eyes on His heavenly Father. He bowed before His Father's holy will. In 3 days, the Father raised Him from the dead, and now He sits on His heavenly throne. Who are we that we should be applauded when our Savior was beaten? It is not the fists of our enemies we need to focus in on, but God's mighty hand. We are to humble ourselves under God's mighty hand. He asks us to trust that He has everything in His mighty hand. If God uses our lives to display the evil hearts of His enemies, then we need to fill our hearts with Jesus' prayer. Not my will, but Your will be done. God promises He will lift us up in due time. The glory that awaits us far outweighs all the sneers and tears and fears of this life. God invites us, cast all our anxiety on Him because He cares for us. This means more than just talk to God about what is bothering you. Cast your anxiety, roll it away, hand it over, give it up to Him. So many problems that we have no control of threaten to tie us up in the knots. We have no control, but our Savior has all authority in heaven and on earth. Our Savior cares for us. As surely as He died and rose to make us His own, so He cares about every other danger and burden in our lives. Jesus calls for us to trust in Him. Even when we don't see how or when His deliverance will come. This confidence calls for many prayers and much Bible reading. Through His Word, He brings us to His side, wraps His arm around us, and delivers us from all of our fears. It is to His glory that He brings us through the fiery furnace to the glories of heaven. When we are mistreated, it is really tempting to come unplugged. We either want to lash out in revenge or in self-pity give ourselves permission to be bad. We tell ourselves even our worst days are not as rotten as those people. But our God says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering. If those who hate Christ get us to hate them, how are we any different? The only one who can protect us from the lion, the devil, is our Savior. Jesus calls for us to stand firm in the faith, trusting in all that God's word says. Forgive as you have been forgiven. Do good to your enemies. Pray for them. And all of this is to God's glory. How can we stand firm in the word if we don't know the word? Now is the day when we are to strap on God's belt of truth, his breastplate of righteousness, his helmet of salvation, and the shoes of the gospel of peace. Our sword is the word of God, and what a powerful sword it is. It cuts the lion to pieces. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. God himself, personally, powerfully, intimately, will restore us just as he raised Jesus from the dead. I picture in my mind that when the Pharisees, Nero, Stalin, and Mao died and stood before Jesus, who they hated, I envision all the Christians who they had killed standing at Jesus' side, bearing witness to their evil. Who was really victorious? We don't need to lose heart because we know the end of the story. Jesus will make us firm, strong, and steadfast to the glory of his name. He will keep us safe in the lion's den. Jesus has overcome the world and has given us the victory. May we live and die to his glory. Amen.